Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us this morning, First Baptist Church of Long Beach. If you want to get a head start in your Bibles, you can turn to Daniel in chapter 9. Daniel in chapter 9 is where we'll be this morning. Thank you for being here, even in pastor's absence. This morning, he is preaching and ministering, he and Miss Amanda, in Canoga Park at the Faith Baptist Church, and they will be speaking there today and tomorrow at a conference. So I just want to encourage you to keep Pastor and Miss Amanda in your prayers. Also, keep, you know, pray for us here as we go to prayer in just a few minutes, that God will use his word to in his preaching to speak to our lives this morning. You know, whenever I'm asked to preach, it's only been a few times, but whenever I hear pastor and he sends me that text or he asks me, hey, can you preach Sunday? I always get an initial rush of emotions, and the first ones are always anxiety and nervousness, and it's something that I've kind of dealt with my whole life. Those of you who knew me when I was younger, you knew I was an extreme introvert. I was the kind of person that would have a little panic attack when my mom would hand me the phone and say, go order a pizza. I'm like, oh no, that means I have to talk to a stranger. That's something that's been my struggle. But along with those emotions comes a lot of excitement and honor to be able to share the word of God with his people. And I'm excited to do that this morning with you. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We'll be in chapter 9 this morning in the book of Daniel. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage. We'll read verses 1 through 19 in just a few minutes. But the book of Daniel, in this chapter, it has Daniel, and it records one of his prayers, a prayer he prays to God for the redemption of Israel. And what I want to go over this morning is five ideas I believe God wants us to know about prayer through this chapter, through these 19 verses. You know, God has in his word, every passage, something we can learn. It's in there for a reason. And what I wanted to dig out tonight or this morning and delve into is, why is this prayer recorded? And what can we learn from it? You know, it might seem like a lengthy passage, but it's a very transparent cry of Daniel. You know, as you read this passage, as we read it together, I want you to envision Daniel as an elderly man. He's probably about 80, 85 years old. You know, he's been living in Babylon his entire life after being taken from his homeland as a teenager. And now he is reading the word of God, and he falls on his face, the Bible says, with sackcloth and ashes, and prays this prayer. So if you had your Bible, can you please stand with me out of respect to the reading of God's word? And we will read. I'll read verses 1 down through verse 19 if you will follow along with me in your Bibles. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. It says this: In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, and unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against thee. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done by Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant in this and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do, defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each and every person that was able to make it here this morning. I pray you to please bless us now as we dive into your word. Help us to think about the things that we listen to and meditate on them and think about how we can apply them to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This prayer of Daniel. What are five ideas about prayer that I think we can take from this passage? You recognize right away a lot of things are going on. You know, he seems very remorseful, very repentant, he's confessing a lot. He's saying, we have sinned, but you are just. You are merciful. That seems to be the cry of Daniel. But let's look first at verse 1 and 2, and we'll get into the first idea I think we can learn from this prayer. Verse 1 and 2. I'll read it again. It says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. The first idea I think we can learn about prayer from this passage is this, that prayer begins by studying God's word. Prayer begins by studying God's word. And you see, the first thing Daniel was doing is he was reading the words of Jeremiah, the prophet of God. And he says, in the first year of his reign, I understood by the books the number of years as he read the book of Jeremiah. And we find here that he is studying God's word when his heart is moved to prayer. Prayer begins by studying God's word. And there's a reason why we can pray. There's a reason why we know how to pray. And that is because God first spoke to us. He speaks to us so that we can then speak back to him in prayer. And whenever we pray, it should be because we have been in the Word of God. Studying God's Word will move us to prayer. You know, Daniel here, he's probably a scholar of the Word. You know, he's someone who had studied the books of the Bible that they had at the time, and he wanted to know the mind of God. He wanted to know who God was and how to pray to him. And that's how we today should be praying. We should be studying our Bible, saying, well, look, what does God have for me? What about God should I know that I can better speak to him? You know, you can speak to someone you're comfortable, you can speak more comfortably to someone you know well. And that is the idea here, that studying God's word will bring us into a more effective prayer life. Studying God's word is where prayer begins. You know, Daniel doesn't start here by just speaking to God. In the first two verses, he says, I was reading. I was understanding the books. I was studying the word of God whenever I was moved to prayer. You know, Daniel is 85 years old at this point. He's come a long way from being the teenager that he was whenever he was taken from Babylon, or taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. You know, you remember, if you know anything about the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, whenever he's going through these tests, whenever he tells the prince of the eunuchs, you know, I'm not going to eat the king's meat. I'm not going to defile myself with that table. I'm going to eat just, you know, this basic diet, and I'm going to prove that my God is the real God. And that's he's come a long way from that time. And scholars believe it's about 70 years later, we have him here praying and studying the word of God. He's now under his third administration. Different kings have come and gone. And Daniel is still in that place, going through the same tests and struggles. But here we have him reading that the judgment of God on his people is coming to an end. Now I'll read Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11 and 12, if you want to turn there. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 11 and 12. This could have been possibly what Daniel was reading. And it says this, and this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation and the Lord for their iniquity, and the lands of the Chaldeans will make a perpetual desolation. Daniel here, he's doing the math. He's saying, well, you know, I'm reading the word of God said by Jeremiah, God's prophet, and I'm seeing how he's saying in 70 years, Babylon will be used to punish Israel. And after 70 years, Babylon will be punished. And Daniel's saying, wow, I am about to see redemption of Israel. I'm about to see my captivity be finished after 70 years of living in captivity. And David understood this because he was studying the word of God. He's in my mind, I imagine this to be like a prisoner receiving word that his prison sentence is about to be over. That's the kind of emotion I read in these verses, how Daniel is reading, Jeremiah, who, by the way, was a contemporary of Daniel, they lived at the same time, is writing from Jerusalem saying, 70 years, then Babylon will be destroyed. And Daniel, as he reads the word of God, he comes to the idea of, I need to go to him in prayer. Daniel understood that prayer, or that the word of God, was the provoker of prayer. You know, immersion in scripture will be energizing to your prayer life. Immersion in scripture will be energizing to your prayer life. That's what I want this point to be for us this morning. You know, as I did this study in this verse, it was very eye-opening to me as well, and very encouraging how reading God's word, you know, sometimes our prayer life can be lackluster as we seem to just go through the motions, pray for the same things, and kind of neglect maybe scripture reading. We think, oh, I need to tell God what he needs to know, but I don't really need to hear from him. And that flies in the face of what Daniel here is doing. He's saying you have to get to know the mind of God if you're going to have a successful prayer life. You have to hear from God if you're going to speak from God. And as we deepen our understanding of who God is and who he says he is, our prayers will become so much more rich and so much more soundly based on who our God is. You know, it's obvious that Daniel was a scholar of the Word of God. You know, in just these 19 verses, he references Leviticus 26:40, Deuteronomy 28:64, Exodus 34:6, Psalms 44:13, and Jeremiah 25:11. All these passages he references in his prayer to God. He's saying, God, you made these promises, and I'm going to claim these promises. And let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah 29, verse 10 real quick. Jeremiah in chapter 29 and verse 10, we'll read verse 10 through 12. And this is just an example of how Daniel was reading the word of God and he was provoked to call on the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 through 12 is a very famous passage of scripture. It says this, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Perhaps Daniel's reading this passage and saying, it's true. This is when it is important for us to call on God. And he knew that by reading the scripture. You know, like I said, Daniel and Jeremiah, they were contemporaries. Daniel was taken to Babylon. Jeremiah was probably left in Israel to prophesy to God's people. And this was Daniel's response whenever he read these words of Jeremiah. He called upon the name of the Lord. He read the scriptures. He read the word of God, and he responded in prayer. And that is something I believe we all can learn from, that prayer begins with studying the word of God. That's the first idea. Prayer begins with studying the word of God. Next, I think we can learn from this passage as we look at Daniel chapter 9 again in verse 3, is we can learn that prayer continues by seeking God's face. Prayer continues by seeking God's face. Let's look at verse 3 of Daniel chapter 9. That first phrase is, and I set my face unto the Lord God. I set my face unto the Lord God. You know, there's something about a face-to-face conversation that brings a little more meaning to it. You know, sometimes I'll be at my house and me and my wife will have a conversation from different rooms. Maybe I'll be in the kitchen and she'll be in the living room and we'll be talking. And what does that say? It means, you know, I'm trying to multitask here. I'm doing something. And you have part of my attention. Perhaps I'll be working and a coworker will come in and talk to me and I'll be continue working on my computer while they're saying something. And what's that saying? It's saying I'm trying to listen to you, but I'm also doing something else. But there's something about whenever you turn your face towards someone and you say, you have my attention. And that is exactly what Daniel is doing here. Prayer continues by seeking God's face. He's emphasizing how important it is to make the decision to intentionally bring your request to God, to intentionally give God your full attention. You know, this is a temptation for me myself when I'm in prayer, is I start thinking about so many other things. And maybe I was like, oh, I'll just pray while I drive. I'll just pray while I go about my job. I'll pray, you know, my mind while I do this or that. But no, Daniel is exemplifying here a life that says, I'm going to put everything on hold and I'm going to spend time solely in prayer. Let's look at the last part of that verse 3. It says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. All these serve as images that Daniel is taking a posture of prayer. He's taking it seriously. And this is something where it shows that he stopped and he put a tremendous amount of importance in the time that he spent in prayer. And I think this is important for all of our prayer lives, not only that prayer begins with studying the word of God, but it continues by seeking his face, by putting everything on hold and spending some time with God. And it's hard to do in our fast-paced society whenever we have so much going on that we just spend a few minutes with no one else but God in prayer. And Daniel is showing how important that is. Another thing I realize here, I've seen here, the Bible says that he sought God by prayer, supplications, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, the sackcloth and ashes, those were images also of humility, that prayer should be a humble request, and Daniel understood that. And you read all through these next few verses, how he's saying, God, I need you. God, we need you. We cannot free ourselves. We cannot do anything with ourselves, of ourselves. We need you. And it's that humble attitude that we see God responds to. You know, it's easy to steer clear of these deep, transparent cries that Daniel has in this passage whenever everything's going well. It's easy to say, God, thank you for this food. Help me today. Amen. God, please help me today as I go to work. Amen. Those are the easy prayers that come whenever things are going fine. But Daniel here, he's saying it's important to do these, have this humble attitude, going to God with a broken heart, pouring your heart out to him And he goes as far as saying, with sackcloth and ashes, that God responds to humility. And Daniel understood that we are helpless. We cannot do anything of ourselves, and we need him. And he took an intentional effort to humble himself, to put the world aside, and to bring his request to God. First, we see that that prayer begins with studying the Word of God. Second, we see that prayer continues by seeking the face of God in verse 3. But next, I want to turn your attention to verse 4 through 6. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4 through 6, it says this: "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping thy covenant and thy mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." The third thing I think we can realize here from this passage is that prayer is built on confession. Prayer is built on confession. You know, you read the Lord's Prayer that Jesus exemplifies for his disciples, says this is how you should pray. He includes there, "Forgive us our debts," that we should come to the Lord not only just being humble, but in confession. Prayer is built on confession. You know, I imagine as Daniel is reading this book of Jeremiah, and he sees how his forefathers had sinned, and he sees how his people had sinned, and God was bringing judgment. He saw, I don't know, maybe for the first time after reading this book, or maybe he knew this all along, that God was doing this out of judgment because of the sins of Israel. Because they had sinned, he has brought this judgment. He has brought Babylon to destroy them. He has brought Babylon to chastise them. And he sees that God is responding to their sin, and then in turn, he brings that sin and says, "God, please forgive us. I know we've made mistakes. I know we've turned against you." And he does this so many times. You know, Daniel, he's an old man. He wants to see his people return to Jerusalem. He wants to see the temple that was desolate rebuilt. He wanted to see, you know, the walls of Jerusalem, and he wanted to see them rebuilt, and he wanted to see his people come back home. And all these things he wanted to see, but he understood that God is not interested in just complaining, in polite requests, and saying, "Oh, you know, my life is so terrible, you know, look what God did to us." He says, "No, it is our fault. We have sinned." And the first thing he does in verse 4, he says, "And made my confession." He says, "God, forgive us." One interesting thing I thought about this passage is, you look, he uses the word "us," "we," "our," these collective pronouns. He uses them several times. Over 20 times he uses them, saying, not only, "God, that I sinned, but that we all sinned." It's not just Israel either. It's myself. He's praying for confession for the people of Israel. And you think about it, he makes a pretty good point for God not to have mercy on them. Several times he says, "God, we did this wrong. We did this wrong. We departed from your precepts. We rebelled against you. We didn't listen to your prophets." And he pretty much builds a case against himself and against the people of Israel. And what is that? That's because he came to God in humility and in confession. Because as a pattern, we know that is what God responds to: humility and confession. You know, Daniel understood that prayer is built on understanding how unworthy we are. How unworthy we are as humans, as people, as the creature, to be able to approach and to be able to petition our Creator. That is an amazing thing, and it's something that Daniel understood. Prayer is built on confession. You know, he understood, you know, prayer is not saying, "God, I've been good lately, so maybe you can help me out with this." Or, "God, I've tried to be on my best behavior, please give me this." That's not the way Daniel approaches God. He does it in confession, understanding how unworthy he is, how unworthy the children of Israel are of his mercy, but still asking for it. Prayer is built on confession before God. Next, I want us to look at Daniel in chapter 9 and verse 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9. Let's look at this. It says, to the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. It says, and now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown as at this day. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousnesses, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. These two passages talk a lot about God's righteousness and God's mercy and his judgment. And the fourth thing I think we can understand about prayer is that prayer is dependent on God's character. Prayer is dependent on God's character. Daniel mentions the righteousness of God both in these situations. One, as God, you are righteous, you are full of mercy and forgiveness. And again, God, you are righteous, and we turned against you, and you judged us. He understood that both of these go hand in hand, and that God is a righteous judge. He is not only loving, he is also just. He is not only holy, he is also compassionate. And these, Daniel understood that in prayer, he was going to bring God, he was going to mention God's own characteristics, own character in prayer. You know, our prayers, what I think we can learn from this is that our prayers should be consistent with the character of God and with the will of God. Many times our prayers can be extremely selfish and extremely revolving around our own wants, our own desires, our own plans, what we think is best for us. And honestly, for me, it's been quite rare where I say, well, God, I want you to do what you want to do. You know the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. The first things Jesus tells the disciples to pray for is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, how often are our prayers selfish and all about give me this, give me that, help this person to do this because that's what I think is best for them, help this person do that, and not really praying according to God's character about his justice, his righteousness, his mercy. You know, even in the Old Testament, you'll find many, many, you know, you look at David, you look at Moses, you look at many Old Testament writers, they approach God and they mention so many of his character traits. They mention his mercies, his forgiveness, his righteousness. And I think a pattern we can pick up on that also is that our prayer should be a time of praise. It should be a time where we praise God for the things that he's done, but not only the things that he's done, but for who he is to us. We should praise God for being just, even though that's not always the most advantageous for us. That's who God is, and we should understand that. We should understand that prayer is dependent on God's character. You know, Daniel here, he praises God, and he worships him for his righteousness. He worships him despite God's judgment on them. And that is something I think we all can understand, we all could do better at, is praising God even whenever he is chastising us, or even whenever we sometimes don't understand what's going on. We can praise him for his wisdom, for his righteousness. That's what Daniel brings up so many times. His prayer revolves around God and his character. You know, prayer is dependent on God's character. Lastly, and then we'll be dismissed, get you out a little bit early this morning. Daniel chapter 9, and verse. Let's read verse 20 and 23. This is at the end of his prayer as he's finishing up. Daniel chapter 9, and verse 20 through 23, it says this. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee the skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, and the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter, and consider the vision. The last thing I think we can understand about prayer is that prayer is answered. You know, this probably wasn't the first time Daniel prayed for salvation of Israel. Probably wasn't the first time Daniel prayed that Babylon would be punished and that his people would be able to return home. But this is the time that God answered his prayer, and he sent Gabriel to give him a vision. And you know, what does this mean for us? It means that God answers the humble prayers of his people. The humble prayers of people who pray in confession, understanding the character of God, studying the word of God, moves God's heart to answer prayers. And you may think, you know, well, I prayed for this and God didn't answer that. You know, we think of our prayer life so much as our timetable and how things should go for us, how we think they should go. And that's not how God answers prayer. He says, I'm going to answer you. You might not have God answer your prayer immediately, but he does hear your prayer immediately. And he will answer it in his time and in his wisdom. You know, God is in the business of answering prayer. Prayer is answered. So the five things I think we could learn, you know, or sorry, these five things I think we can take home with us today. In our quiet time alone tonight or tomorrow, as we pray and we petition God for whatever heartaches we might have or issues we're going through, you know, I think we can think about these five things and we can do them. The first is to get in God's word. Get in God's word. It's where prayer begins. You want to know the mind of God. You want to know what he wants to hear from his child. Get in his word. Study other prayers of other great men of God in the Bible. Second, seek God's face. Intentionally spend time. Intentionally set aside time where you will pour out your heart to God. And you will put all the distractions away and spend time in prayer. Turn your face toward him. Have a posture of prayer, being humble. And that's the third point. Go to God in humility. Confessing and understanding the miracle of prayer from such an unworthy person. How amazing it is that we have the ability to approach our Creator and to make our requests known. That is a miracle beyond all miracles, and I think it's very important for us to approach God in humility. And then number four, we should pray according to God's own character. Pray that his will be done in our lives. Pray that the bad things that are going to happen to us be used for good. Pray the good things that are going to happen to us be used for his glory. That is how God wants to use our lives, and that's how God wants us to pray, according to his own character and his own will. And lastly, pray with the faith that God will answer in his time. Pray with the faith that God will answer in his time. Not an impatient prayer, not a prayer of, God, you have a deadline, I expect it done by this time, but praying that God will answer in his time.